Today on our Tech for Business podcast, we're joined by Cole, our Power Platform developer, and Kelsey, our graphic designer and brand strategist, which we might be feeling like this is a weird pair up, but both of these people are working a lot with workflows and automation, and so we're going to just have a really beautiful organic conversation about what that looks like. So to start, I'm kind of interested in what both of you, what really excites you about this type of work? Like, what really motivates you and gets you interested every day to create workflows, to create automations? Maybe, Cole, it might be easiest for you to start.
Sure, yeah. So what I'm really excited about whenever I'm working with, like, a new automation is really just how it affects, like, the day-to-day employees and just can make things so much less frustrating. You know, I know we've all been there where, like, something's not working with tech, you know, in the world, or when you're getting your coffee and they're like, oh, yeah, the computer system's being funny with me again or something. But even more for those automations, like, there's just so many things that people don't even realize, like, are kind of bothering them until you show them how much easier it can be. And so I really like that it kind of decreases that frustration, and that it can kind of help with the burnout a little bit too, because it makes it so much easier for employees to kind of do the meaningful work and not as much of the busy work where they're just typing in a yes or a no or copy pasting things from here to there.
Your answer was so good that I'm sitting over here like that kid in class who's like, share fun fact. And I'm like, my fun fact is not as cool as your fun fact. But I think that you touched on so many great things there that really distills it down nicely to go, why would we do automations in the first place? And I think that aha moment of going, hey, you're next to somebody and they go, oh, I'm doing this and this and this and this. And you go, did you know that there's an app for that? Or did you know that you could just do this thing and it'll do it for you? And the look of relief on their face is probably the best part. I selfishly get to do it for myself and go, hey, I hate doing this thing. Hey, we could do this. And then get to bring it to my own team and go, look, we don't have to do that thing by hand anymore. And for all of us to go, yes. So I agree. When we talk about automations really high level, that's definitely the best part.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say Kelsey is the person implementing a lot of the automations that I use. So It saves me a ton of time and I don't have to create it because it's just not in my wheelhouse. But, you know, Kelsey, maybe we'll start with you. What are some of the processes that you think are really perfect when you kind of workflows you see and you say that is perfect to create an automation off of?
Yeah, I think my brain, of course, goes, nothing's ever perfect. We can always make it better. But that's just my own personality coming into this. But I think whenever we look at a marketing process, if you can define it in a framework, and I was chatting my husband earlier, because I was like, man, how am I going to get all these ideas into a 30-minute podcast? And I said, well, did you know that when you set up an email, you're out of office, that that's an automation? And he goes, oh, yeah. And I was like, so again, we can framework that. I can sit there and go, I'm going to be out of office from this day to this day. And I want these people to get this reply. And I want this other group of people to get this reply or the same reply, whatever you want it to be. And then you set it up. And you go, but you can step by step it. So when I look at it from the marketing side of the house, even if it's a creative something, I look at it and go, what could be a framework? What has clear defined steps or processes or applications? And how can I put those into a way that it just keeps going? Because I think, Errol, you've seen me go into things and I go, we could do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And we're like, okay, that's too complicated. It could be a workflow. It could be an automation, but we probably need the help of somebody like Cole to do it versus something like an out of office. Somebody at some point did all the coding to do it. I just get to use it now.
Yeah. And that's so interesting because the flip side is Cole, who maybe takes these way more complicated processes for people and creates or, you know, different frameworks to make that work. So Cole, sort of your side of this, what do you see are perfect frameworks to create automations? Or is there a point in which it gets too complex?
Yeah, absolutely. So I usually use like the Power Automate stuff. And, you know, I love what you're talking about there, Kelsey, where like that frameworking where it's like, when this happens, then this happens. It's just such a like that's exactly what we're looking for, you know, complex or non-complex. I'm more on the low coding side, so I'm not doing anything like too crazy. It's kind of Excel function based, right? Where it's like, if this column's greater than this column, I want that column to be green, kind of a stuff, right? So it's very much that frameworking stuff is just like one layer deeper into the code, which is what I really like about it, because like I don't like going too in depth into that code stuff, but I really like that it's super accessible. But the things that I'm looking for whenever something is just like, oh, that has to be automation, like give it to me, and I would love to get that to be a little bit easier for you, is anytime you're copy and pasting information, because it is so easy to get just like a character off there. And depending on what you're doing, that can be a huge difference, right? Because you copy and paste the wrong account number because it's one short, and then it just like fries the whole system. It's like, I don't know what to do with this because this doesn't exist. Also, anytime you are sending kind of like rote information to a standard place, and that's exactly what that, you know, that out of office is, where it's just like, hey, I've defined the time period that I want this to happen, and I've defined exactly what I want you to send to this thing. And if you expand that out a little bit, it can also be for like any of your processes where it's like, oh, I've just completed this shipping label. So I want to send an email that's got the shipping label's barcode, and it's got this and that information from the shipping label to so-and-so in this department so that they can have that and it's ready to go, or, you know, into a queue for multiple people to access, stuff like that, where it's just you're sending something that's the same every time with a few bits of dynamic information. That's what I really like to see there. Let's see. And Kelsey, I think you covered a lot of these actually, but I'm just going to go through my list here. Anytime you have simple yes or no's, or like if ABC, then XYZ, kind of stuff like that. Go back to those email automations that are so simple that we're kind of a little bit used to as a culture, where it's, hey, when I get an email from so-and-so, I want it to go to this email box, right? That's an automation. That's how simple they can be. And then all it is when we're looking at slightly more complex ones is having a little bit more definition around that ABC, and then a little bit more definition around that XYZ. Does it go to these three groups or just this one person? So on and so forth. Last thing I look for is anytime you want data to go from one place to another place, and like that data needs to be able to talk to the two things, that's a really great place to look at for automation, because it's a little bit technical whenever we have to have data from one place to another place. But with those automations, you can say, hey, I know it says it like this over here, but I'm going to make it go, I want it to look like this to the other system so it can kind of properly digest it. And I feel like that's where a lot of the meat of like the like more coding side gets to, even in that low coding space.
I totally agree with that 100%. I'm even thinking through all these. I'm like, yep, it's that one. Yep. I'm like, even right, if say we're using meta ads, I'm like, I'd love to give the metaphor here of going, these meta ads, if we do a lead entry form, how am I getting that over to our marketing automation platform? And right, it's simple for me to go into something like Zapier and go, you go here. Yes, there's all the safety and regulations and tech talk and everything that goes behind that. But it took me less than 5 minutes to go, I set up the ad, I made sure the fields matched in the low code, no code universe. And then I tested it and I'm like, cool, now it's flowing, now it's running. And I don't have to spend hours trying to go in different APIs and find fields and translate data and do all this stuff that I'm going, high level, I could maybe understand it. But there's a reason that I stopped being a computer science major.
Yeah, it's so interesting how, and we're going to, I mean, maybe we dive into tools a little bit, but it's how accessible this is starting to become for, like, I hate to say the average user. I mean, Kelsey, you are so intelligent in how you think about the if this, then that, you know, first, second, but it's so complex to me. But again, these tools are out there and these resources are there that are making it easier for someone like me to do that. You know, it's just an interesting development. I don't know if you have anything you want to share on that.
No, I
totally agree. Cole, you go ahead.
I think we're gonna say similar things, but no, I like totally agree. And you know, I think one of the things that's going to be really cool as like the next generations kind of come into the workforce, like, I'm going to be shocked if people don't have like kind of a really basic, like, you know, when we went to school, it, you know, you have your English and your math and so on and so forth. And, you know, I think they're just starting to come up with like computer classes a little bit more, but it's going to be like, no, everyone has a computer course just so you can get like the broad sense of like, here's how you access email and here's some like really basic automations you can do. And I think by the time that they get really into the workforce, it's going to be really cool because they're going to be able to do whatever they need to kind of make their job just easier, right? And that's the whole point of the automations is it's supposed to make it easier for you to do your job. So
I totally agree. And that's a great point that I'm like, we could have a whole nother podcast talking about it. But the last thing I'll say about that is even a tool like Zapier and write things like ChatGPT, all these language models that you can just chat with, that you don't even have to understand what you really need. The front page now when you log into Zapier is like, explain what you want. And you're like, oh, I need to be able to pass leads from Facebook to this marketing platform. And it'll go, here's my suggested flow for you. Here's the things and here's how I connect it. And I'm like, it just holds your hand through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So to that going, yeah, you don't have to be the kid that signed up for the computer elective in high school and figured out the stuff. You're like, no, you can just be a kid who wants to make a TikTok and you want your TikTok cross-posted on Instagram. So you set up a Zapier, right? Like, I'm like, that's a pretty easy, that's one of their flows. You can do that. Doesn't have a business sense, but it has so many implications that once you get into the workforce, you go, oh yeah, I've been doing that this whole time. I just didn't know that it had that technical name behind it. So that'll be interesting to see is how many people even realize how much they use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to say your example, Kelsey, of the out of office. I had never thought about that. And it's so true. So I'm trying to think right now about like how I'm already experiencing and doing these things without even thinking about it. I know this makes people uncomfortable, but I'd love to give a moment of just bragging. Is there anything that either of you have implemented that you are so proud of or just so excited to see work? What kind of flows or what kind of automations have you put into place recently?
Yeah, so I've got a couple here that I'm just like really excited about sharing, just because like I think they kind of highlight how much easier things can be when you allow them to be easier, right? So this one was actually at a previous job, but basically what we had is we were converting this really painful, multi-step, back and forth, painful process that took things from one form and then to another group, back to the original group, back to the admin group. And then the admin group had to put it into this really complex form when like the core of what the person was trying to do was super, super simple. So essentially what they did, and this was for a financial institution, what we were trying to do is just have an automatic transfer of money from this account to that account. Here's how much, here's how often, you know, really basic kind of a thing. But originally, the person had to look up the person and then grab all of this stuff. They had to grab the account that it's coming from, the account that's coming to, and you know they're copy and pasting those account numbers. Like I said before, if they're one up, mm-hmm. This is going to be like, I don't know what account that is. They had to do the how often, starting when, ending when, amount, what type of account it came from, what type of account it came to, who is the person you're doing this for? What's their member number? What's their phone number? What's their email? What's your name, your phone number, your email, and your employee number? And it's like, oh my gosh, that is just so many things. And, you know, when you're sitting at your computer, you kind of assume your computer knows some of those things. And it definitely does, right? When you send an email, it knows to say from you, right? Like it just knows that somehow because, like, of course it does. But so they would send out all of these things. Then the admin people would check everything to make sure that the date was for a date in the future. You can't set it up for the past. Make sure that the account number exists and that you gave it the right type, if it's a checking account or if it's a savings account, so on and so forth. And then if that was correct, they would have to put it into another system that said things like they had to make a choice of, is this from checking to checking? Is this from checking to a loan? Is this from checking to a savings? And it's like, you already kind of know that because you know the first type of account, you know the second type of account. So why are we having this 30 list drop down to select exactly what it is? And then they would also have to do weird things with the dates. I don't remember exactly what it is, but you know, there was a difference between every 2 weeks versus first and the 15th. if it happened monthly, you had to specify it was on the first day or if it was on the last day, or if it's on a specific day, anywhere in between. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this is just so crazy. But what we were able to simplify it down to is the user would look up the member and then they would just select from their account. So they're not copy and pasting. They're just saying this account is the one that we want it from. And then this is the account that we want it to go to. They type in how much. They select one of like the five frequencies that are just like, these are the ones that we can just do. Mm-hmm. Then they would select a starting date and had some like little bits of automation around there too that would force you to choose a date in the future because that's the only dates that are valid. So why are we even letting them input a date in the past, right? And send to the admin team and they would be able to use it just so much easier. So that's my most exciting one. I talked for a minute about that, so I'll just leave it.
You're good.
No, I love it. I love how yours is like, it's all these numbers and my brain is going, oh, I can see all of the ways that I would mess that up manually.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, that is crazy. And everything you said was such a great logic of, I know Errol hears me talk too much about being like, it's about the user experience of go, why would you select a number in the past? It's not an option. Don't give it to them.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Like it is what it is. And I don't know, it was on another podcast, so I apologize that I don't have the correct quoted this, but the human brain can only comprehend six options at once. So that's why Starbucks doesn't put their full menu up on the board, right? They say, hey, this is what it is, even though they can do a million and one things for you. That's such a beautiful example about going, I could do a million and one things for you, but this is what you're trying to do. So these are the options that I'm going to give you, which to me is one of my favorite examples. So I think that that's so cool, even though I've never worked in finance and I'm like, I don't want to try to touch numbers, but I can feel how much better that would be. So that's awesome.
Awesome.
And really quick, I'll talk about the workflow of actually even selecting our podcast platform and what we do with the podcast afterwards for content, because it's one of my favorites. So essentially, we use our podcast, it's not a secret, to generate content across our marketing stream. So essentially, we use it to generate blog posts. We use the transcripts to help write emails. We generate email content. We do social media posts, reels, TikToks. All of these things, right, all kind of comes into the same ecosystem. So that's my very not technical way of saying we use the podcast for everything across all systems. So then we were sitting there and we went, okay, how do we simplify down our marketing workflow to make it also make sense within the content creation stream? So we started, we're on a tool right now called Descript. So anybody watching, we'll throw in the link, do all the good things. It's a tool that records three separate transcripts. So each of us talking has our own transcripts. That's the big technical. I won't go into all of that, but saying that's what starts my flow is the transcript. That's what gets my content going. From there, I then have a flow that goes down and says, okay, then it calls another tool that we have called Copydid AI. I have a separate workflow built over there to take our transcripts, remove out some of the personal things, any customer names that we say, anything like that, if we tend to say them. And write us a blog post. And it does it in a formatting that puts in headers, just for SEO, suggested titles, like some meta description, all of those things goes into there. Then from there, I have it connected to Monday.com, which is our test manager, to say, hey, go ahead, give the blog post, assign it to Ariel, notify her, let her know that she's been assigned. And then from there, be able to go, okay, so then it goes to this status, and we have other workflows that are all built into Monday.com that I should have written this all down because I would have been more clear explaining the exact step. But from there, it pretty much goes through the workflow then of going, hey, Tara goes in, who's our boss, into the back end of WordPress to approve the blog. If it's approved, everything goes there. Then we have another flow that writes it into a content board that we can track all of our content, that then we can action that off and we have separate workflows to create social media posts, to create notifications internally. I'm like, essentially that's where it goes from there, is to go, if there's a content stream, I probably have a board set up or I have an AI workflow to help us generate the content so that Ariel can spend most of her day ideating or going through and making the content better or making an image that improves it so that the user experience is better, or so that we can sit there and spend more of our time going, how do we make sure that the user experience is great? because that's what I'd rather spend my time talking about and not going back and forth and going, let me copy and paste this over here, to your point. Okay. Over here, and I copy paste this over here, and then I'm going to message Ariel and let her know that it's ready, and then she's going to message Tara and let her know it's ready for review, and then she's going to message that back, and then we get an email thread over here, and then we have a Teams chat over here, and you're going, that's so many things to try to keep track of all throughout a day, and then you have multiple meetings to approve things or talk through things, and you're going, wouldn't it just be easier to start it with the thing that's starting at the podcast, and then anything else, give it a framework? So that when we have meetings, we can talk about more exciting things. But hey, did you have time to go through and edit that transcript? And did you then copy and paste it and spend 5 hours making it a blog post when it takes less than 10 minutes to make a blog post over 500 words?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I wish I could give you numbers because I'm terrible at tracking, but it has saved me like days of work. Like my old calendar was just filled with like a full day every week doing podcast stuff, which would include all the things that Kelsey mentioned. Now, like today, I'm probably spending maybe half my day to do two podcasts. Like now I'm doing so much more and get to make such higher quality content rather than just spending time with like the basic rote stuff, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we don't have to go to write anybody in leadership or go to Cole and go, hey, can you write us a blog post, nobody. I love all of our internal resources. Nobody has time for that. Nobody has time to sit down and write it out and do all these things, but they have more than enough time to sit down in a quick meeting,
yeah,
which is essentially all these podcasts are, and say, hey, yeah, I'll give you my story, I'll tell you. I tell you, and then we're getting great content that then if you're anything like me, you don't look at on a piece of paper and go, well, it's not good enough, the grammar's bad, and I don't like the voice there and this and all these other things, and I'm going, yep, all hail AI overlords, because please take what I'm saying and make it make sense.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Oh man. And I mean, AI is potentially a different conversation because that changes everything as well, like how involved that is or how connected that can be. We love automations. We do a lot, especially in the marketing. I can speak to it. But are there any sort of hurdles or challenges either of you have faced or that you know could trip somebody up if they start kind of exploring this? What's kind of some of those challenges they might face when creating an automation?
And I throw my one thing and then Cole, I'll let you go, because I got one thing, bad data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off, Kelsey. I heard if like automation is like the car, data is the gas, and you have to have the right and good quality like fuel. Otherwise, it's not going to drive.
Does it work?
Yeah, it's such an interesting.
I'm like, you take all of this and you say, Cole, if you're talking to your example of account numbers, if a number is off, it doesn't work. For us, if I just sat on a podcast with Ariel and said, let me tell you about my cat, that is not going to be good quality content.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I love that example of the car and the gas. I think that's a really good kind of metaphor for what it is. The other thing that I've seen is, you know, a lot of work, technology is changing all of the time, and people are kind of getting a little bit tired about it, honestly. So what I find is sometimes is people who are kind of resistant to that change because they're just a little bit burnt out of things that don't quite work for them, right? It's always something that the company is like, oh, well, like, we're just going to do this thing. And they're like, well, why didn't you ask us first? But I'm happy to say that the solution is actually really simple. It's just talk to them, right? Get their stories, get what is going to make this actually easier for that end user and make them really feel good about what they're doing there. So for example, like the automation that I was talking about before, the admin team was originally really kind of hesitant for this because the multiple hours of work that they were doing by confirming that each checkbox along that process was going as it should is now being done by a machine. And, you know, they don't necessarily trust it. We could have missed something. And that's totally fair. That's a really valid reaction to it. So the way that we actually overcame it in this situation was we created a little bit of a trial period where instead of just executing the full automation whenever the form was submitted, the admin would receive an email that said, here's what we're doing and what we're going to do here. If this looks okay to you, please just press approve, and then it will go through that whole backend process, which was still a huge time savings for them because they didn't have to, you know, go and copy and paste all that stuff from the email into the thing. They could just press this button that says do it, and then it all gets done. And I think we even ended up creating a even smaller automation that would run really like locally on the machine. And so what it would do is they have a way to kind of double check what has been set up for those automatic transfers. So it would go through that and they can see it going through step by step, nice and slowly. So it's like it punches in the code to bring up the account. It punches in the code to look at the last one that they just did. It punches in the code to say, pull up what this is set up as. And right there, they can see exactly what they've seen every time that they've done it. In the past, it's no longer this like backend kind of scary thing that they're not used to. You're meeting them right where they are and you're saying, hey, this is what this has been set up as. You know, go ahead and double check it. Make sure you feel comfortable. And then once that trial period is done, they're feeling great about this because they know this is working exactly how they want it to work. And if it's not, they can kind of give us those feedback of, hey, every once in a while, here's an issue we have. And then, you know, we throw in another if-then statement that says, if this is a thing, then we're going to do this. Or, you know, even sending them the few that don't make sense to the computer. Sometimes you do get to those situations where we don't quite have all of the data that we need, and we need to ask for just a little bit more, and it's just a little bit tricky to get to the computer. So that part is great to have that human interaction and that human control on it. But it's about making all those things that we don't need to have a whole meeting about. You know, it's the classic expression, like this could have just been in an email. Exactly the same with automation, right? Where those things that the computer should know, let's let the computer take care of. And the things that are a little bit more complex than that, let's let the humans take care of.
For sure. I love, because sometimes people, when they hear about these tools that are out there, they think that you're really removing the human element, and you're not. So like, I'm still very much involved in the full process that Kelsey has put in there, but it's just a little bit more in depth. It's a little bit more meaningful use of my time, and having those checks and balances are really important. So
absolutely. Yeah.
And I think you make a great point about user friction and user adoption of, yes, I live in this happy world where pretty much it's Ariel and I get to go, yeah, we're doing this. And she goes, okay, cool. And I'm like, that's what I had to convince. We're done. Congratulations. But I've seen the other side of it, and right, even just cross-departmentally, when I'm sitting across for meetings and I'm like, we could do this, 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 and this, and this, learning how to position that in a entryway that says, yeah, I'm going to focus on how we're going to do it, and then giving you the tools to say, but you're going to have full control, or we're going to be able to look back through, kind of that lifting behind the curtain idea. So it was such a great point to go, yes, it's scary. Yes, you don't have to understand it, but I'm also not going to, for lack of a better term, mansplain my workflow to you and say, I'm still going to give it to you in a way that you feel like you have ownership or control, so that it's not so scary that I'm just taking it from you and saying, well, the computer's going to do it for you. Just don't worry about it. Just sit there, smile, look pretty. I'm going, no. You're going to do more important things. I'm just going to help you with some of the things that you're doing on repeat that the computer can do for you. Because I think your point is great. We expect technology to know things for us.
Yeah.
Let's just utilize the things that maybe it already knows.
Absolutely. I love that. That's a great way to put it.
Sure. So let's kind of jump a little bit into, if someone is so excited to do more, learn more, start implementing, where do they even start? And I don't know, Cole, if you can kind of jump off first, where does someone start, or how did they begin figuring out what process is an easy one to start automating?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I mostly work in Power Automate, and I think it's a really nice one to kind of get started with. because you can actually get a free developer account. I don't know if anyone knows this, but through Microsoft, they actually have like a free, like, hey, try it out, because they want more people to be using it, right? Mm-hmm. So you can set up your own development account there and start playing around with it. So, you know, if you have, the way that you do this is you just go to, let's see, I have it in here. If you just Google M365 developer program and then click, you know, get started with that, and then you give it some basic information about what you're using it for and, you know, your email address, you got to have an account to sign in. They'll give you that free developer account. And with that, if you have Outlook, you can do some really, really basic things like, hey, I'm going to set up an automation that sends an email, right? And, you know, that's not a really viable automation for the business, because if you're going to send an email, you open Outlook and you send the email, right? It's not that complex. But what I like about it is it kind of just gets you to have your hands on it and to really start understanding like how simple it is. And then you kind of build on that. Similar with like SharePoint is you can have it just, you press the button that says run the automation and it will create an item in your SharePoint list. And I really like that approach because it gives you a really easy way to kind of get your hands on it and just see what makes sense for you and start learning and start building that skill set and that comfortability with here's what it looks like to automate something.
Yeah, I love that. And I think too, and I played around Power Automate just a little bit, that I was like, you know, just poking around, doing a few things, doing a few flows. We're Microsoft partners, so sorry, self-promotion sitting over here in the marketing department. I'm like, hey, we can do these things for you. But to your point, that's such a good thing to know. And I think you brought up a point for me of, if you can storyboard out your day, which is such a marketing way of going about this. It's like, okay, let's say I'm a team lead and I send out a Teams message to my team every single day saying, what's your top three for the day? That's what I do every day. I probably have it saved in a notepad because I've gotten too lazy to type it in every single time. And I'm control C, control V, doing all the things. That's a super easy workflow to go on this day, this time, in this channel, you post this. And they make it so easy. You go in. It's visual. Power Automate has some of the same things as Zapier, where they have templated outflows. So even if you don't know where you're starting, looking at some of these websites, and we'll put a bunch of links to a bunch of tools, but just looking through them. Zapier has a full, hey, here's all the popular flows. So even if you don't use their tool, you may think of things. Power Automate has something similar. I'm sure Gmail, even though I haven't, my personal email is a mess, so don't use me as a use case here. I'm sure that they have similar things. I know that they do between Google Sheets, Google Forms. So whatever platform you're on personally, that's a great way to get started and then be able to do things for your team, for your business, scale it up. Same thing Cole's pretty much saying is, hey, beta test it yourself. Maybe set a reminder to feed your cat before your cat reminds you, right? Those types of, just play around with how your life can get a little bit easier and give yourself a little bit back time. And then it's so much easier to then go and say, I could save somebody else time. I had empathy for Ariel in the podcast because I did it previous to her. So I said, I used to spend all this time. I know that you spend this time. I can do this for you. But if I didn't have that understanding, I could have created a flow that would have just created more work. So I think when you're looking at it and saying, how do you get started? Understand what your problem is first. Yeah. And then maybe try the simple little fixes, because any of these big complex workflows are just smaller flows combined into
one. Yeah.
So do the three-stepper and feel really good about that. And then you can keep going.
I really like that. I love how you talk through that of like, you know, like understanding what the problem is just such a huge part of that. And, you know, any automation at its core is, what is the trigger? And, you know, for a lot of these things, it's like this time of day, right? Like I've got on my phone, it's not like you wouldn't really consider it an automation, but now the way that you're talking about this, Kelsey, I'm thinking about everything as an automation, right? Because like I've got it set up so that if it's Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, sound my alarm at 7 a.m. If it's Saturday or Sunday, sound it at 9 a.m., right? Like that's an automation. It's just what thing is triggering it, and then what do you want to have happen after it, right? It's, if you can get it into those terms of like distilling your problem down to that, you can make an automation for it. Like you absolutely can.
Well, yeah, and there's so many, so many tools. If you use Slack, if you use Teams, if you use Asana, Monday.com, like, right, I could throw out all these teams, Notion, anything that you can do to try to organize your technology at this point probably has an automation built in that you're probably already using, or they made it in a no-code, low-code way. And really what we're talking about is just taking it and going, how do you connect those systems? Absolutely. How do you stop scrolling between three separate monitors? And right, doing all these things where you're like, yeah, I feel like I'm at mission control and it's Iron Man waking up Jarvis and I feel so cool. And you're like, yeah, but you can also take some of that out and simplify it so that you don't get the technology fatigue that you spoke about earlier, Cole, because that's so true. Going, I get really excited about it, but that doesn't mean that if I walked down the street and looked at somebody and was like, hey, I just did this automation, not sure. Ariel's going, please don't do that. I would get the same amount of excitement out of the general population. It's not down talking anybody else. That's just going, I get to get excited about it because I feel passionate about it in my job, but it doesn't always, it's not as important for some people. If I was building a car, I probably would not care about what my calendar flow was doing. I just wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think that that can make for some good TikToks, just running up to people on the street and saying, hey, have you thought about automating your Outlook? I've got some automation for you to try. Just getting their reaction.
It's going to be the new, hey, what's your favorite restaurant? Hey, what's your favorite workflow? Like,
oh, man.
I'll credit you for that one if we go viral. Credit goes out to you.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. We might have to do that. As we sort of close out today, I kind of want to talk about future trends or how things are going to evolve going forward. So I want you to start with sort of in your field, how you think automation is really evolving or changing your specific field, and then what you sort of see how businesses can kind of prepare. So that little bit bigger, how businesses can prepare for automation or get started in that, if that makes sense. I know Cole wants to. I mean, honestly, Cole, it might be easier because you do work very in depth with businesses and stuff. It might be easier for you to sort of start with you.
So I think that the biggest trend is just we're going to see a lot more. No matter what happens, like we're going to just see more and more of this. It's all going to be about this, like, we're getting rid of the chaff, we're getting rid of the, like, we're not doing click here, click here, click here, right? It's about just doing less of that manual work that the computer should be able to do. Sure. And doing more of that meaningful work, which we've talked about in depth, so I'm not going to go too deep in that. But for the other point that you were bringing up of just kind of how can businesses prepare for the future of automation, I think one of the biggest things is just recording your processes, because exactly like Kelsey was saying before, right? If you know what your problem is, which, you know, your processes shouldn't be a problem, but if you know what the pain points are, right? Where are these things frustrating for your employees? Or even like if you have it so that it's very clear on what step happens and then what thing comes after that, so on and so forth. When you hire a company or you start using your internal resources to automate some of those processes, they can look at it and it's going to be so much easier for them to automate because you already have done so much of the legwork of figuring out what does this actually look like? And then the next step is what can this look like, right? The other thing that I would say that I think is even more just like hugely important is, you know, getting to know and understanding your employees. Because when we remove the mind-numbing busy work tasks, what do they want to do? How can they feel fulfilled at their job? And how can they get the most about doing things that are a little bit more, you know, using their mind and the fun stuff of the job instead of the mind-numbing stuff? Because like some of these automations are going to remove hours of busy work, like you were saying, Ariel, and that's where we really need to know what are they doing after, right? Like, how are we going to take this from we were doing a lot of busy work stuff and now we're going to do more meaningful stuff? And how can we get them excited about that, right? Because if you're just going to tell them, hey, help these guys know what your process is, because then we can let you go and it will be cheaper for us, you're not going to get a lot of buy-in. People aren't really going to be excited to the secrets of their job. But if you can tell them, here's how we're going to actually use this time to help you have a more fulfilling life, and you can do more things with it that are exciting to you, then you're going to have excellent buy-in. You're going to have really good automations because you have people who are bought in and excited to help the people who are automating it do a really good job with capturing what that process should be.
Amazing. I don't know how you're going to follow that up, Kelsey.
So much pressure that I was like, A, wholeheartedly agree with everything that you just said, ditto. But also, I think if I pulled it back and said, okay, from a marketing standpoint, which is
that's right, right.
That I live in, I think where it's going is A, we've already talked about AI, but B, you're going to see that we hear it all the time, hyper-personalization, people want that personalized experience. So as far as automations go, we're going to see a lot of data being automated, right? Where you're having data from all these different marketing platforms. You're going to see more and more products like that. Hey, do this dashboard. Hey, go to Looker. Hey, here's funnel.io. There's all of these platforms are already out there for AI. I think that's only going to get it more and more prevalent because we have social media and we have Google and we have all of these platforms that I won't even go into and saying, the more marketing technology we have, the more data we have, the more analytics that we have. I think the next thing is we're going to start seeing that in a more intuitive way for marketers that makes it more accessible and makes it easier to translate the data to know what consumers are doing, to know what your user is doing, and to be able to identify their pain points and make better marketing experiences for them, which I think we're already kind of seeing with experiential marketing. Right? That's already kind of what's happening is you're not just opening an email, you're going to a pop-up for a new line of soda and you're getting swag. And you're like, this has nothing to do with what the original product was, but you're experiencing the product. And I think workflows and things like that is what enables marketing companies or smaller marketing teams to have that bandwidth. So that's like a very vague, we're going to keep on using it to keep on doing our job, but we're going to do our job better with less people, but more people in a different way. Yeah, that was super clear. But I think as far as where businesses are taking it, Cole, you're 100% right on. And it's something that I said to Ariel last week when we were talking through work processes. And she said, well, what's a process? And I said, anything that you could codify, write down that if we hired somebody else to do that task. That's what we're writing down as processes. That's what we're documenting. That's what we're putting into a library. And then essentially, that's then the next step is to say, hey, if you can tell that story of how you're doing it, then we can automate it. Then we can look at what helps you do it faster. Then we can look at how to improve it. And then to your point, Cole, then it's not about me going, well, Ariel, I'd just like to replace you with this machine. That's not what I'm saying. Ariel's like, goodness gracious, and I don't have the power to do that. But B, not going to do that. Saying, hey, when we go through all of this, it's not that I'm looking to nitpick or micromanage her processes, my processes. That's not what our boss is doing to us. It's to look and say, what are our actual goals? What do we actually want to do?
Yeah.
What's the important thing? And I think that's such a nice way of looking at it is saying automations are super technical at their very, very core, but we're doing it so that you have more time to do the human things, the things that machines can't do. So yes, there's scary parts of it, but knowing what's going on in your business and what data is in your business, and then also building up your employees enough to go, this isn't a micromanage. This isn't, I'm questioning how you're doing it. This is, you matter to me. You shouldn't have to enter a table every single day of the same data until your brain melts. Nobody really wants to do that. So how about we make something that does this for you? So that you have the brain capacity because you probably know something about this process that I don't know that you can tell to make it better, which is the fun part for me is going, hey, we fixed it. And then Ariel goes, well, did you know there's 3 transcripts instead of 1 transcript? And I go, no, but I see.
Well, awesome. And Kelsey, I totally agree with you. One thing that you said that really resonated with me, and I'm going to let everyone in on here on a little bit of a secret. Even if you don't automate anything, it's really good to have your processes written down for when you do have those people coming in, right? You have a new hire coming on and they're wondering, How does my day-to-day look? Like, what do I do here? You know, if you have those processes documented, then they can do them because it's very clear. And, you know, there's always times where there's exceptions and there's things, but it's always better to come in with a plan and adjust the plan than to come in and say, well, I'm really flexible, so I'm just going to do whatever. And I have no idea where to start, right? Like that doesn't work.
No, it's the 80-20. And I think it was Kyle, our CEO, was like, just get it 80% of the way there. Get it 80%. And then we can figure out the 20.
Absolutely.
If 20% of the time crashes and burns, doesn't matter. We're just going to keep going. And I was like, that is a great benchmark to get to, because if you approach any of anything, but especially automations with going, it's going to be 100% perfect out the door. Then the second Ariel goes to me and goes, yeah, did you know that this, and this? If I was like, nope, it's perfect because I processed it and that's the way it is, it's not going to work. So we think approaching it from that, you're building something with best intentions that's going to have to change, and then building in the process for monitoring it, because I know that's the constant struggle that I have is I could spend all day just improving my processes. So looking at your business and planning for that and going, okay, everybody may be in on that. Everybody can write down what they do every single day. But who's owning when the automation breaks? Because a lot of times, right, you'll pay somebody to come in, they set it up for you, and you go, cool, everything works. And the second something breaks, you're like, oh, crap, there goes our entire process that none of us now know how to fix. So also documenting what you're doing when you're building it, the process behind it, because that's how I approach it, is even in Zapier or things like that, there's a note section. You can put why you put that stuff there and what your thinking was. And so, right, if I'm designing it, I'm going, if Ariel came in behind me, even if she had no background in anything else, she should technically, if I did it right, this is on me, not on her, be able to at least understand at a high level what I was attempting to do and why I did it.
Absolutely.
Even though it takes me more time when I'm building it. So yes, I'm not always great at it. Full disclosure, I'm preaching it and then going, yep, make sure I'm doing it every time, because it does take more time, but it does save your business time in the long run. And it's not diminishing my work or my worth to be able to say, if I can explain this to you, I would love it if anybody coming after me in marketing did it better than me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be exciting. I would love that. But hopefully I said enough good enough that they don't look at it and go, well, that was good crap. I'm going, double-edged sword.
Perfect. I love it. I mean, again, I kind of started this podcast, but this is such an amazing thing that both of you do. And it's just not how my brain works, but I'm actually excited to leave this podcast and figure out how I might actually already be doing it. So this has been amazing. Thank you both for being on our podcast today. It's very exciting.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.